Lockheed Martin's buying helicopter manufacturer Sikorsky Aircraft for $9 billion. The move pushes Lockheed into the helicopter business, which it wasn't in until now. Richard Abulafi is vice president for analysis at the Teal Group Corporation, one of the foremost analysts in the aerospace industry. He says the acquisition shows Lockheed is serious about expanding its reach. And Richard joins me now to talk about this deal. I've seen this called a bargain in some of the media coverage today. It's probably the first $9 billion purchase that I've seen referred to as a bargain, Richard. Is it indeed a good buy for Lockheed, do you think? Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, it's really a pleasure to be here. You know, I saw that coverage, too. I was a little baffled. This was actually a somewhat higher price than generally anticipated. I mean, it's a great fit, and they'll do well with it. It's a superb business, but in terms of the price, you know, they had to pay a bit of a premium because of the big tax bill that you might expect from UTC having owned this for, you know, the better part of a century.
The business that Sikorsky is in, I mentioned it's the helicopter business. Can you be more specific and tell me more about what Sikorsky does, the contracts they hold now?
Absolutely. They're pretty heavy on the military side of the business. About 80-85% of their revenue is military. The biggest thing they're known for is the Black Hawk transport helicopter, which is basically good for transporting a squad's worth of infantry or their associated equipment. They also make the Seahawk series of maritime patrol and anti-submarine warfare aircraft, plus the CH-53K heavy transport. And they also have civil helicopters that primarily serve government and oil and gas markets, too.
Some of the other coverage that I saw about this deal made it sound like Lockheed got the Sikorsky because nobody else was really that interested in it. Does that make sense to you as well? Or it sounds like that portfolio of business is pretty attractive.
Yeah, it is, and it was actually surprising, the very fact that it did get a fair amount of interest. I was a little baffled by the coverage I saw, too. You know, originally, they had this idea that they would do what Northrop Grumman did with Huntington Ingalls, just spin it off and, you know, do maybe an IPO or something like that, independently listed. But then it turned out there were a bunch of companies, obviously including Lockheed Martin, that simply wanted to buy it outright and were prepared to pay for the additional, well, tax burden and whatever else. So it found a good home after, I guess, more fierce than expected bidding.
So what do you think the implication is here for the defense industrial base overall? Is this a one-off that happened because there was an opportunity, or does this portend maybe a direction for where we could see the defense industrial base market go in the next, say, 12 to 24 months?
Well, I mean, I think that the market is just generally more ripe for mergers and acquisitions than I've seen in years. It's looking like a pretty good environment. Anything that's quite of this magnitude, doubtful. I mean, this was a one-off. Basically, a couple years ago, United Technologies decided that its future lay in commercial aircraft, particularly the aftermarket, sustainment of jetliners, and they purchased Goodrich, which is, of course, a core company in that business. And then they said, well, why are we owning a military platform maker, which is no longer growing like it used to? And they spun it off. In other words, even though the environment for mergers and acquisitions is good, this is probably just one of those one-off events.
What are the components that make the market good for M&A right now, Richard?
Well, a lot of it, of course, is a market which is a bit better known than it was. A couple years ago, we had panic about sequestration. We had uncertainty about big program decisions. Now it's more of a steady state. So if you're going to make money as an aerospace company, you have to actually pick, hey, what's our strategy? We know what's going to happen in terms of program decisions, in terms of likely top-line funding. What are we going to look like in 5 years? And they're starting to make decisions on a purely strategic basis. And then you've never had so much pressure put down from the primes down to the subcontractors, particularly in the commercial jetliner business. So they, too, are trying to bulk up in an effort to push back in order to get more of a critical mass that makes them, well, also allows them to get more skills and rise up the food chain there. So both in the subcontractor level and the top level, there's more swapping of assets and M&A being considered.
You kind of anticipated my next question, Richard, which is what kind of pressure are you referring to there from the primes down to the subs, and what do they do about it, or is there anything they can do about it if they rely on the primes so much for their businesses?
You know, the commercial jetliner market is really good, but it's pretty obvious that growth is kind of slowing. The defense market, it is what it is. It's not falling, but it's not going to see the sort of growth we had in the last decade. So if you're looking to, you know, be attractive to investors and you're a prime, The one way you can do it is operational efficiencies and squeezing your supply chain and your workforce, quite frankly. So in other words, there's more pressure being put on the suppliers in order to make the numbers at the top end.
Overall, then, should we not take, it doesn't sound like you think we should take any particular message about the market out of this specific transaction.
Market, but about the industry. I'm sort of interested because it wasn't just the Sikorsky acquisition. In the very same message, they said, well, we're also looking at a divestiture of our services and some of our IT work. And that to me says that Lockheed Martin maybe had this moment where they, you know, they realized that they're really good at manufacturing defense platforms and that the rest, that's more of a commodity business, maybe not their forte, maybe spin that off or sell it to somebody else. So I think you could see evidence that maybe the defense primes are looking back to their roots. And here's a moment where a really good legacy manufacturing company comes on the market. So they absolutely snatched it up, and for good reason.
Are there other organizations out there that could make themselves available or become available like the Sikorsky unit that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I'm certain there are. It's just hard to see. I mean, this was a moment where UTC really did just fundamentally change its strategic outlook. And as a result, Sikorsky was not part of their strategic direction, so it was up for sale. But could things happen because companies decide that maybe they're worth more than the sum of their parts and they decide to spin off units? Absolutely. You know, we've got horizontal conglomerates out there that might decide that some of their units aren't key. And, of course, there are companies that, after the bomber decision, for example, might be hungry for business and eager to grab those units. So all the drivers are in place. It's just really hard to anticipate what they might be.
You say the words new bomber, and I think in my head that means I'm going to be calling on you a lot in the next couple of months or a year, Richard. I appreciate your time today very much.
It's really a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.